Joining us on the line from the UK now is Vivian Fallows, who in 2000, after her children set off for new lives on the other side of the globe, she embarked on a solo travel mission. She shared her stories in a diary, which became a hilarious book of adventures, Travels with George. Vivian hopes that her journey with her suitcase, George, will inspire others to take the plunge and travel solo. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning, Hannah.
Oh, thanks ever so much for joining us. It sounds like you had a great time.
I did indeed. I mean, sometimes it's a pinch me moment. You think, did I really do all that? But yes, I did. I was very fortunate. And it was just lovely pushing boundaries and doing something absolutely new on my own.
So you'd never done any solo travelling before?
No. Years ago, I just sort of had gone from, I don't know, home to marriage, children, family. So I'd never done a sort of a backpacking year, and that's something my children did. So when the opportunity arose, suddenly there I was, an empty nester. I thought, well, I think I'll have a go at this. And I had a very tolerant and patient husband and said, yes, you know, go and have an adventure, which is exactly what I did.
So he really didn't mind you going on your own?
No, and again, I think, you know, he had to go to work, and my job had come to an end, and no, he said, go, but you must keep a diary. You must tell me what you got up to. So I did. I wrote reams and reams.
Oh, and fantastic. And had you done any writing before? Was that a new thing as well?
Well, certainly sort of getting something into print was new, but I had worked in the charity sector and I had been a fundraiser. So I had written very different things, appeals for income for the various charities.
Mm.
And I suppose I had lived overseas when the children were small and had written letters home, when I used to take sort of great delight in sort of, saying how tough life was, no water, no electricity. And then I'd be sort of rather surprised that nobody wanted to come and see us. So, yeah.
So did you plan the trip out before you left? Did you know exactly where you were going to go?
Yes, I did. And I think because I was travelling on my own for the first time, I sort of planned my route, and I sort of made a guess at how long it might take me. And typically, when I arrived in a destination, I had my first night's hotel accommodation booked. And I think if I did it again, I would probably be a bit more relaxed about some of the timescales that I'd allowed myself, because it's such an unknown. You sort of feel you need a few sort of landmarks along the way, a few posts so you sort of know that you're on track. So I had a rough idea of where I was going.
Yeah, I mean, but if you're going to places that you haven't been to before, you don't really know whether you're going to like it or not. You might think, oh, I'll spend just one night there, and then you might love it and want to spend three or four nights there, or it could be in the reverse as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I drove the Great Ocean Road, and I looked at various travel agents' guides as to how long you might take to do that. And then I added a couple of days and thought, well, no, I'll probably take longer. But really, I could have added days extra. Because once you actually embark upon these trips, you just get sidetracked. You know, every sort of lane, alley you go down, you find something new. And just to sort of sit and stare at the sea, it's just all these things are just so wonderful.
Mm.
And with nobody saying, come on, it's time we went to have lunch or something.
Exactly. Yeah. And did you make lots of friends along the way?
Well, I did. It's the sort of bizarre conversations that you suddenly get sort of sucked into. And I always felt, I'm never sure whether I'm sort of giving much back in return, but I certainly was a listening ear. And, it's just amazing who you meet on your travels. And also, it's all the sort of tourist spots, all the sort of guides who've got so much information they just want to impart. You just sort of, there you are, and you're happy to hear it all. So, and it all went down in my diary.
Yeah. So where did you go then? Tell us a bit about your route.
Well, my route, I suppose I had travelled east occasionally, obviously with family, but I thought, well, I will go west. And I'd never been to the Getty Center. For some reason, I just wanted to go to the Getty Center in California. So that was point number one. And that was literally just a sort of 24 hours to go to the Getty Center and see this amazing collection of artifacts and culture. And then the next spot was down to the Cook Islands. I recently sort of, my job had come to an end. I'd been making people redundant. It'd been a horrendous period. So I thought, I'm going to treat myself to a bit of beach inactivity. So I spent a week on the Cook Islands, swimming, snorkeling, just relaxing. And then it was down to New Zealand for a change of pace and some adrenaline-fueled activities.
Oh, like what?
Well, I went to the Lost World at Waitomo, and there's a 100-meter abseil down underground into a cavern.
Gosh.
And so it's sort of, you know, it's underwater, rock, scrambling over rocks through rock pools. And then it was quite an adrenaline-fueled activity. And I suppose I was in my 50s, and the people I was doing it with were, well, half my age. So it was quite fun, and they just sort of treated me as the granny of the outfit and pushed as I climbed up ropes and up ladders and slid down waterfalls. So all good things.
Oh, fantastic. And then you visited your son, who was backpacking in Australia.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole idea was that I would go out to see Matt in Australia. And I do feel I sort of rather pushed my luck by saying, well, I'm not going to Sydney in a direct line. I'm just sort of, you know, making the most of this adventure. So eventually I did make it to Sydney for a lovely reunion and time with Matt before then sort of setting off again on more adventures. But it was just lovely to see, you know, somebody I'd waved goodbye to at Heathrow, you know, having no idea what was going to happen to his life and where it was going to take him as he set off with his then-girlfriend. But they both got to Sydney, and they both found work. They ran out of money, and they are still there. So I still miss them hugely. But, you know, I have three granddaughters, and, you know, who would have known in sort of 2000 that was going to be the outcome?
Gosh. So how was he able to stay in Australia? Because that's not easy, is it?
No, it's not. Well, it just so happened he's an engineer, and he was working on environmental issues. And he arrived, you know, right place, right time. They were looking for engineers with his expertise.
Fantastic.
So he got a job. Yeah.
Great stuff. And he's still in Sydney?
Yes, he is, which I believe is something you quite enjoy as well.
Oh, yes. Loved Sydney. Loved Sydney, absolutely. Well, it's got everything, hasn't it?
I'm a
city person, but I also love being by the sea. So it's just the best of both worlds.
Absolutely. It's such a vibrant atmosphere there. I just love it. It's a work hard, play hard sort of environment. And, you know, if you love water, if you love cities, if you love culture, it has it there in bucket loads.
Mm. Yeah. So do you have all the places you went to, do you have a favourite place?
Well, I suppose they were all so different, but I am so drawn to the Australian outback. It's just this sort of, hard to describe, this area of almost nothingness. But yet it's so steeped in history. I mean, it's just, when you look at this sort of very barren landscape, you think, well, how did the Australian Aboriginal people, how did they manage? How did they survive? But they evolved a culture which was just so suited and just so perfect. And, you know, here am I sort of in the 21st century looking at it thinking, yes, it's so harsh, but so beautiful.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And how long were you away for in total?
Well, the first trip I did was 6 weeks, and then I very cheekily, about 18 months later, thought I had to see more of Australia, so I did another four-week trip. So, yeah.
Fabulous. And are you planning to go back? Has it inspired you to keep travelling?
Well, I would love to. I mean, we do sort of to and fro now to Australia to see the family, but I haven't done a solo trip, really, on this scale. But I have to say, I was just sort of thinking, you know, what would I like to do? And I know quite well what I would like to do, and that's to drive across Spain on my own, from the top to the bottom.
Oh,
I would just
fantastic.
Love to do that.
Well, it's a beautiful country.
Well, yes. I mean, I've seen cities, but I haven't been into the sort of the hinterland.
Yes. Mm. There's so much to see. I mean, I've lived here for 15 years and it's kind of embarrassing how much I haven't seen, really. And I think it's the same for a lot of people. I think when you travel somewhere, you're ready to explore. But when you're living somewhere, you don't tend to as much. I mean, considering the size difference, it's ridiculous to think that I've seen more of Australia than I have done of England.
Yes.
And that's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean,
England's
tiny.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so there's so much to see in Spain. I mean, even where we are on the Costa del Sol and the Costa Blanca, we've got lots of listeners there, and there's just so many different towns and villages, and both along the coast and slightly further inland, and very beautiful. Well, I can recommend it. Not that I've done it myself, but no, I suppose I have. No, I have driven here. Yes, when I first moved here, drove, but drove through the top of the country. Yeah. So yes.
But I love the Spanish speech. I mean, I'm not a linguist. My daughter-in-law is, and I just think, Alice, you should do more with your Spanish because it is such a beautiful language. Mm. But I can at least order a beer or two in Spanish, which I think it was beer that kept me going as I drove around Australia.
Yes, perfect. As long as you can say that, you'll be fine.
Absolutely.
And the food is fantastic, northern Spain particularly. So, yes.
Lovely.
Enjoy. Well, do keep in touch, Vivian. Do let us
Will
know
do.
If you do that trip.
Thank you, Hannah. Yeah.
It's been lovely to chat with you. If listeners want to get a copy of your book, it's called Travels with George. Oh, I must ask you, why is your suitcase called George?
Years ago we had a golden Labrador called George, and he was a very wayward character. And when I first got my my travelling case, it's a wheelie suitcase, and those wheels were so wayward, I thought, I shall never get the hang of this. So I called him George.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
So you were never alone then? George was always with you?
An amazing companion. He never complained either, so it's
perfect. Perfect. Vivian, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Hannah. Thank you.